following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
What's up, Refuge Family? Welcome back to another Refuge Daily. My name's Noah. Super glad to be with you guys as always. Going through a new series. I just finished talking about our last series that I went through in junior high, which was the series called Canceled. Now we're kind of moving according to the holiday season. We're going through our Christmas series. So there's actually a lot I had to cut out because with Christmas comes the perspective of young kids, right, when I'm teaching them. I'm not teaching necessarily from your guys' perspective as adults. I'm teaching from trying to relate with the kids, and so they're thinking about the presents, they're thinking about all the great things that comes with Christmas. But if we're honest, there's a lot that we can actually kind of look forward to in Christmas, right? It's just one of those seasons where I know some of my buddies and friends, they love Christmas music. It's one of their most absolute favorite things. I look forward to seeing family during the Christmas season, and the food. Obviously, the food is always a big plus. We usually eat Mexican food on our Christmas holiday, and it is just absolutely the best. I love it. So kind of for a moment, think about what are the things that make you look forward to Christmas? Is it the food? Is it gifts? It could be gifts. Is it your family? Is it Christmas movies? There's kind of so many wonderful things that we could look forward to, right? But if I'm going to be honest, this is the time of year that often shows me how me-focused I can be, even though I'm 21 years old and I am no longer receiving the bountiful gifts from my parents that I once used to receive. We've all heard phrases like Jesus is the reason for the season, or it's about what you give, not what you get. But no matter how many of these reminders we hear, it's still really easy to make Christmas all about us. And by the time January arrives, we might look back on Christmas Day and determine whether it was good or bad based on entirely what we experienced, not necessarily what it means. And is it wrong to want to have Christmas gifts, fun with family, delicious foods? Absolutely not. But when we spend Christmas focusing on what we want, hope for, or expect, there's a good chance we'll be disappointed by the outcome. If Christmas was really all about me, my hopes, and my desires, let me tell you what it would be like. In a single word, I'd say Christmas should be cozy. We all want comfort, right? It's just that's what I think about when it comes to Christmas. When it's Christmas Day or just a regular Tuesday, I want to feel safe, happy, and at peace. So comfortable means different things for different people. For you, it might mean, hey, life is fun, or there's nothing to worry about. Everyone in your family is getting along. Everything is going according to plan. That's one of my comfortable things. I'm a planner. I like to plan out my weeks, or if I'm on vacation, plan out the vacation and make sure we follow that schedule. People hate me for that. But depending on your personality, feeling comfortable might mean all of those things or just a few of them. But no matter how you define comfortable, I think we can all agree that we'd all love our Christmas holidays to be fun, peaceful, worry-free, and somewhat predictable. But if you know anything about the first Christmas story, which I'm sure you guys know a lot about the first Christmas story, the day Jesus was born, you probably wouldn't call it comfortable. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, her husband, had to really get uncomfortable in order for Christmas to happen, the first Christmas to happen. We're talking long travel days on a donkey, having a baby in a cave surrounded by smelly animals, while almost everyone you knew thought you were living in sin and imagining angelic visitations, right? Crazy. You might be familiar with the names of Mary and Joseph. You've heard the Christmas story before. You might even think you know everything there is to know about them, and I'm not offering new information today, but I do want to challenge you to really imagine what it must have been like to be them. Step into their shoes, picture it, how uncomfortable it really was, and why that's important, and we'll get to that. But let's start with Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. Verse 38, Mary's response, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Crazy. Can you imagine being in Mary's shoes? She's minding her own business one minute when out of nowhere an angel shows up. The angel tells her she's an unmarried virgin and will somehow have a baby. And not only is she having a baby, as if that's not already uncomfortable enough, but she's having a baby who would one day save the world. I don't know about you, but if I were in Mary's situation, I would panic, probably run away screaming, and probably tell the angel to find someone else. But that's not what Mary did. Yes, she was afraid. Yes, she had some questions, but Mary was willing to do what God was asking her to do. Mary did what God asked, even though it meant giving up her comfort. And Mary wasn't the only one who had to give up something to be a part of God's plan. Joseph had a role to play in this too. In Matthew 1, chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So when Joseph found out about Mary's pregnancy, his immediate reaction wasn't exactly happiness or excitement, because it wasn't his kid. That's just the reality. It's like, well, that's unfortunate. My betrothed wife cheated on me. And that's just the immediate mindset of what happened. For Joseph, this change of plans was deeply uncomfortable. And remember, the world today is very different than the world Mary and Joseph were living in. In their time and culture, if a woman was found to be pregnant before marriage, or if she was assumed to have cheated on her husband, she would have been seriously punished. And I don't know what Joseph thought about Mary's pregnancy at first, but it's clear he was trying to figure out how to keep the peace. He wanted Mary to be comfortable, which is why he decided to divorce her quietly. But let's be honest, he wanted to be comfortable too, which is why he decided to divorce her in the first place. And so Joseph wasn't getting the message immediately, so God sent another angel to speak directly to Joseph, clear in a dream, clearly communicated what was going on. When the angel arrived, he finally understood, and Joseph did what God asked, even though it meant giving up his comfort. Now, I would tell you that after Mary and Joseph made these difficult decisions, everything from that point forward was easy, fun, peaceful, comfortable, but it just wasn't. Mary dealt with the discomfort and pain of pregnancy just like any other mother would, and they were required to take a long trip to a town called Bethlehem in the last days of Mary's pregnancy with her riding on the back of a donkey. Not ideal for a pregnant woman. There was nowhere in Bethlehem for them to stay when they got there other than a cave where animals slept. And we aren't talking like a pristine, like, petting zoo. We're talking about, you know, a very gross pig pen style sort of stable. It was just the reality of what it was. So it was very gross. And so that's where the Savior of the world was born. And after so much discomfort, before they could fully celebrate the miracle of Jesus' birth, King Herod heard a rumor about the birth of a new king. He feared a rebellion. He feared competition. So Herod decided to find and kill not just this one baby, but every baby who might pose a threat. Mary and Joseph could not really catch a break in the season. So while you and I dream about cozy Christmases with blankets and crackling fires, we've got to remember just how uncomfortable the first Christmas was, from traveling days on a donkey to having a baby in a cave surrounded by smelly animals to having everyone you know think you're living in sin and imagining angelic visitations, to becoming refugees in a foreign country so your baby wouldn't be murdered. Mary and Joseph went to Egypt. Didn't read that passage. You're supposed to summarize it. But they went to Egypt to because Joseph was born in a dream, to because Herod was going after the babies and after Jesus. So they did all that. Mary and Joseph dealt with a lot. But why did they do it? Why was it worth it? Well, Mary and Joseph knew the world needed a savior. They were willing to get uncomfortable in order to see that happen. And on the first Christmas, Mary and Joseph gave up their comfort. And this Christmas, how could you and I do the same? There's a lesson to be learned here. Mary and Joseph gave up their comfort in order to be a part of something bigger than themselves. We're all tempted to see the world through the lens of our own stories. But Mary and Joseph's stories remind us that God is telling a story that is much bigger and better than our individual stories. So what if Mary and Joseph had made different choices? What if Mary had said, I can't do this, choose someone else, God? What if Joseph had said, no thanks, I never volunteered for this? Well, if they did that and decided to stick with what was comfortable to them, Jesus still would have been born, but Mary and Joseph would have missed out on being part of something extraordinary. Because Mary and Joseph chose to give up their comfort, they gained something incredible. They became part of the greatest moment in history, the birth of our Savior. And you and I may never be visited by an angel, but we all have that same choice to make. How can I get uncomfortable in order to join what God is doing in the world? I know it's easy to focus on ourselves and our comfort, and this isn't only true at Christmas time, it's true all year long. But I hope the stories of Mary and Joseph are the reminder you needed today to choose obedience over comfort. Obedience over comfort. Christmas isn't about you, me, or our comfort. It's about the Savior who got really uncomfortable in order to save us, and the many people who followed his lead because of something so much bigger than themselves. So this Christmas, how can you get a little uncomfortable in order to be a part of something bigger than yourself? Well, maybe you could be kind to a family member that particularly annoys you on Christmas. Maybe volunteer to serve someone who's hurting or in need, or participate in a ministry. Maybe spend time with someone you know who could really use a friend right now. Or maybe ask for less and give away more. Maybe talk with someone about the story of Jesus' birth and what it means to you. I think of evangelism. That is one thing that pushes people out of their comfort zone so much, but it is so necessary in us being a light to the gospel and to what we are meant to do as believers. So what is it for you? This Christmas, how can you give up comfort in order to be part of something bigger than you? God's probably not asking you to do anything as uncomfortable as what Mary and Joseph were asked to do. But do you know what's amazing? This Christmas, you're invited to be part of the same story Mary and Joseph were a part of. The exact same story, because the story's not done. Mary and Joseph helped Jesus come into the world, and you and I have a chance to continue spreading the good news of Jesus through our words and our actions. And on the first Christmas, Mary and Joseph gave up their comfort in order to join God's mission in the world. This Christmas, you and I could do the same thing. So think about those ways. Think about the ways we can go out of our comfort zone to obey the call we have as believers to be the light of the gospel in this culture, in this country, in this world. There's so much that we could be doing. And so I really hope this encouraged you guys, as it encouraged me and my students. Praying that you all have a blessed Christmas. And don't forget the reason for the season.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.